Each month I check in with St. Cloud School Superintendent Lori Putnam. Lori joins me now. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Good to talk to you, Jay.
Yeah. It's a nice hot day. It's a good thing you don't have school in session right now. Oh, my gosh. In those schools, it's
gotta be hard.
It would be hard, yes. Absolutely. So let's talk about a bunch of things going on. First of all, I know that you've got what school supplies a group are putting together to try to put together those school supplies this week. Is that right?
That is right. It is going to be a huge endeavor. I'm a little nervous about it because we will be a huge amount of pallets being delivered to TAC, I believe, this evening. And then we will start organizing Thursday morning so that we are prepared for well over 100 volunteers to come at 2 in the afternoon. We will be packing totes for all of the classrooms across the district, preschool through 5th grade. So you can imagine that is a lot of supplies.
Yeah. Now, are these supplies going to be enough to get you through the entire school year?
You know, we did a pilot last year at Tulahi and PK, and for the most part it did. You know, there may had to be, you know, depending on a grade level or a project, you know, a refill of the giant Elmer's glue bottle because, you know, one of our efforts is to make things more sustainable, not only financially but environmentally. So moving away from individual products to more bulk. So items like that may need to be refilled, but we certainly either will have it on hand or do have the budget to restock.
Lori, I took some calls last week, as I do every like Tuesday and Wednesday, and one of the callers brought up school supplies, and she said that she is a teacher. She didn't tell me which school district, so I don't know if it was yours or a different one, and said that it has been kind of a practice in the past where teachers have had to spend their own money to replenish some school supplies, maybe not at the beginning of the year, but later in the year. Is that something that happens?
100%. Absolutely, yes. And that was, we had two driving factors to, you know, eliminate or to provide school supplies for all of our PK5 students. Certainly would love to do it across the district. We're not there yet. One was, of course, for families and making sure that our students had what they needed ready to learn on day one. And the second was that we know our teachers and others, school nurses, school counselors, principals, paras, bus drivers, there are people who work with our children, not only in this district, but across the state, who are giving their own money to be able to provide items that our students need, whether it's food, whether it's pencils, erasers, socks, underwear. Those are the kinds of things that often you'll see our nurses providing. We know that happens, and I think, you know, we all know that money is tight for many families, and including those that work in the school district. And we really wanted to the extent that we could, take that burden off of our staff and our teachers.
Do you think that you've done that? And if a teacher does see a need, can they reach out to their principal or maybe to you to say, hey, you know, we need some help here?
Absolutely. And every school district, every school in our district also has budgets for grade levels, for departments. And so they can reach out to their principal. People can always reach out to me for anything. But we will make sure that is provided. We do not want our staff to have to provide for the learning needs, the physical learning needs of students. They do enough with their, you know, with instruction and caring for our kids on a daily basis. And then I would be remiss not to mention LEAF. LEAF continues to do the Adopt a Classroom program, where people, donors can, I believe it's $250, they can sponsor a classroom. And that is designed to really do over and above, right? Not to replace basic supplies, but if somebody wants to do a special experiment or restock a classroom library, maybe they want decorations on their walls. Again, so teachers don't have to do it or other staff. That is an opportunity for our community to get involved and support that way as well.
All right, let's move on to some other things. Apollo High School, I know there's work being done. I actually was over there the other day. I was at the VA, and I'm like, I'm going to stop over at Apollo and see how things are looking. And, yeah, there's a lot of dirt being moved.
A lot of dirt.
Yeah, a lot of dirt being moved. And I know that there, and last week, I think you are, or last time we talked, you showed that there was a video of the footings being poured. Where are we at with the Apex Athletic Complex? What is the progress on that?
Yeah, the concrete footings are nearly complete, and so clearly they take a while. And we do expect to see the steel structure beginning to go up in mid-August, which will be very exciting. As you said, so far it's just looked like a lot of dirt being moved around, a giant sandbox. But now people will actually be able to see the progress that's being made.
How about the rest of the projects over at Apollo, including that storm shelter, the safe entrance?
Yeah, you know, we found that we had to do some significant electrical work as they were preparing to start on the storm shelter. I won't have all of the lingo or the vocabulary correct, but there are electrical conduits, I believe that they're called, that stretch from the building out. They run out at an angle, and they run under where the storm shelter is. And so we do have to shut down the school. That closure begins on the 31st. And we'll go all the way through August 10th, so there can be no electrical activity happening to or from the building, in the building, as the contractor pulls those cables and then reinstalls them at a safer angle. So if anybody needs assistance, our office and administrative site will continue to work off-site. And you can just call the Apollo main office line and be able to contact any of our staff members who are either on duty or, of course, through their district email. We want to make sure that people still have access to our staff, even though the building will be closed.
Lori, when are we going to start seeing noticeable construction done on that particular project?
I suspect you will start to see that, the electrical lines will be done. The shed is being moved, which is also essential to get that construction, the shelter going. I would guess it would start to be seen, if you're coming around the back, in September.
In September, okay. How about other maintenance projects going on at schools? I know Talahi is undergoing quite a bit of work.
It sure is. And, you know, we feel good about the timeline right now. We hope that it's always a mixed bag, of course, right? In the Midwest, we always, you know, we want the rain to come, and then that's what farmers need, you know, it's what our land needs. And then we also know that that's tough for roofing and pavement work. So we continue to hope for a balance where we can keep that project on track as well as the others. You know, I think one of the pushes that we'll have, because we have a lot of work happening inside of our buildings, right, which people can't see, is making sure that that gets wrapped up in time to do a full clean of the buildings, you know, which of course puts a strain on our maintenance staff, and certainly appreciate all that they are doing and will do as they are in a fairly tight scramble to be ready by the end of the summer.
Any update on the other buildings besides Talahi that are having some work done?
No, they're all right now on track, which is a beautiful thing to be able to say. But again, many weather dependent.
How about staff? Are you fully staffed? Do you have some positions you're still looking to hire?
You know, we're making good progress, but we still need a little over 30 paraprofessionals. We know that those are critical roles, and they are available at most sites around our school district. So if somebody listening has a child who attends a specific school, or they live near a school, and or maybe just have always felt drawn to a particular school community, then we certainly can accommodate a lot of those preferences. But we would love for people to reach out to our human resources office. They can reach out to me. And then we partner with a company called Kelly Education. They fill all of our guest teacher positions. And we do have guest teachers or substitute teachers, as they're probably more widely known. They can work in the same school every day all school year. So it really allows people who want a position like that, a steady, stable position where they can build relationships with both students and staff, a great opportunity. And again, reach out to 742 Human Resources or directly to Kelly Education.
Lori, are you still doing what you've done in past years, where you go and meet with new families, new students in August?
Yes, we are. I'm super excited about it. And I'm going to try to talk and grab that date all at the same time. I believe it is August 18th. Yes. On August 18th, we will be out meeting with all new, all students in our district. So all kindergartners, even if you've been in preschool before, and all, everybody who has joined us in grades 1 through 12. We drop off a small bag of information, a book, some chalk, a few general school supplies for 6-12 students, and then hope to make connection in person with either the student, if they're older, or with the family and the student.
Laura, when are your teachers back at work?
We are starting early this year because Labor Day is so late. We are actually starting on August. I gotta go look at my dates. If you know me, you know I'm notoriously bad with dates, so I always like to confirm before I say it out loud. August 24th, our teachers will all come back, and our licensed staff will all come back for professional learning. And then everyone who is all new staff, new licensed staff, join us actually on August 17th, which does feel a little hard to say because that's only a few weeks away.
Yeah.
But we provide some orientation time, some team building time, to help folks get acclimated to the district and maybe to start making some relationships and connections early.
Lori, one last one for you. Any successes within the district with your staff or students you wanted to bring up?
You know, a couple things. We were the only district in the state to send two student senators to, it was called the Day of AI. It was hosted by the National Superintendents Association. It was a weekend invitation of a Senate session where students took three roles, either student, staff member, or administrator, and they developed sample policy for AI use in K-12 education. So we were fortunate to send two students, Bumaji Akjo and Judge, and we are so proud of the work that they did. And they will be presenting to the board, hopefully in early September, so that our community can also hear their thoughts and learn about what they did. And then the last thing I will say, which is not very, it doesn't sound very exciting, but we have made a successful conversion from Microsoft Outlook to a full Google platform. So we use the Gmail and the Google Calendar. We did that to save money. As our listeners, your listeners know, we are committed in this district for it to have a balanced budget every year and use taxpayer dollars as carefully as we can. And so we were running two systems, and that's just not an effective or efficient use of resources. So we have successfully made that transition, which was harder than I anticipated, but our IT team did a beautiful job.
Very good. Lori, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of your summer. We'll talk to you again in about a month.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
That's Lori Putnam, St. Cloud School Superintendent, joining me here on WJON.